So I was able to connect with a couple of coaches, and they got me a place over in Ireland in this very small village in Galway in 1987. I know you guys probably weren't even born then.
I was born the year after that.
So, yes, there was no internet. There were no cell phones. It was literally, writing handwritten letters back and forth between family and friends. And then every Sunday for about 15 minutes, my father would put up the money and I could talk to them for a little while and kind of go over my experience of the week. Most of the time I didn't share all of the Guinness that I had throughout that week. But it was a great experience. I continued to, get that basketball fix. I met some amazing people. That experience, for somebody who really had never gone beyond the boundaries of Westwood and Worcester in Massachusetts, was a little exhilarating and a little scary at the same time. Again, because I couldn't just pick up the phone or write an email or a text. Most people don't really believe this, but I was painfully shy and very introverted. So when I went to Ireland, I sort of had to reinvent myself because nobody was there to speak for me anymore. I had to speak for myself and kind of communicate my needs and my wants and, tell people who I was. So I did start talking when I returned at about 24 or 25. I think some people were like, wow, what the heck happened? So it was a tremendous experience aside from, meeting some fantastic people who I still have relationships with to this day, seeing their kids, played basketball with their kids, and now their kids have kids, and they've come to visit in America, and I've gone back to Ireland several times.
Oh, nice.
So it was really a great experience. And you guys talked about stepping out of your comfort zone. I mean, I was in the most uncomfortable situation. You go to a country, even though it's English speaking, they have really thick brogues, mm-hmm. and for like a week, I didn't understand anything anybody said.
Sure.
So I just nodded yes, and I got a lot of beer and a lot of bad food and, taken to places that I might not have necessarily agreed to because I really didn't understand them. Wow. But again, it was a terrific experience of trying to broaden and come out of my comfort zone and be in a place that was so different that, I had to do things differently. So I would not take back that experience ever. It was great.
That's awesome. And how did that lead you here? I mean, were there other stops in your path?
Well, there were a number of stops on my path. When I graduated from college, I had no idea what I wanted to do. I was a history major, and I knew that I just wanted to keep playing basketball. While I was playing basketball in this small little hamlet, the original team that I played on was coached by these two 18-year-old boys, and I was 23. And I'm like, although these boys are very nice, they really don't know what they're doing. So I went to the president of the club, this lovely woman, Mary Kine, and I said, hey, what if I take over as a player coach? And there was a specific rule in Irish basketball where you had to have somebody representing as in an official capacity on the bench as the coach. So we designated Mary as that person, even though she didn't know the difference between a timeout and a zone offense and like didn't know anything.
Yeah.
And her kids were really good basketball players. So she sat on the bench and I coached the team and I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
I loved it. And I was like, at the end of that experience, I'm like, I'm going to try coaching college basketball. So I sent my I came home after a year. I sent my resume out all over the country. I got a little bite for a $6,000 part-time job at Princeton University.
Oh,
so cool. Packed my little car and went down there and really worked full-time for part-time pay because that's what I knew I wanted to do and had an awesome experience, met a lot of great people, learned so much. And that was really the start to my career in college athletics. I then moved up a couple years later up 95 to Fordham University,
mm-hmm.
and spent 2 years there as an assistant, and then moved further up to Boston College 2 years as an assistant. And then I got my own gig as the head coach at a Division III program at Wheaton College in Norton, Mass. Which was very different. I didn't know anything about Division III athletics. I remember looking at our conference schedule, and Smith College is part of the conference that Wheaton plays in, and I was like, Smith has basketball? Like, that's how sort of ignorant I was, you know? Yes, not only did Smith have basketball, but they, like, kicked our butt, you know? So they had pretty good basketball.
Nice.
So, you know, while I was at Wheaton enjoying the life of a head basketball coach in Division III, you traditionally have other duties assigned. So some of my other duties were administrative, like scheduling and game management. So I got to run a lot of games and a lot of championship games because Wheaton had some really good sports.
Nice.
And got to meet some other people outside of Wheaton that also held those roles. Mm-hmm. So I got a little taste of administration. At the end of my 6 years at Wheaton, I was sort of tired of recruiting. Mm-hmm. Recruiting,
it's busy, right?
It's very busy. You know, all your friends and family are out on Memorial Day weekend and 4th of July, and you're sitting in a gym.
Yeah,
you know, and
a lot of travel too, right?
A lot of travel, getting in your car, going on planes, and I just was like, in order to be good, you have to be able to recruit quality people, and I didn't want to put that time in. Mm-hmm. So. That summer there was a job open at UMass Boston for an assistant athletic director, and the job responsibilities fell right into what I was looking for, you know, supervision of coaches, life skills and education, compliance, game management. I was like, this is perfect, you know? So I went over and I interviewed literally 3 times. At the end of the 3rd interview, I was like, is this like fidelity? I was like, you're not giving me responsibility of somebody's like venture capital account, you know? So I was able to secure that job and, spent 12 awesome years there.
Wow. Nice.
Had a lot of responsibilities, everything from supervising coaches to again, compliance, NCAA reports, performance reviews, work study, game management. I mean, you name it. There's so many other little jobs that are beneficial to the student athlete experience. I met some terrific people, sort of discovered and determined my philosophy, which was about helping people. And really, you know, the bottom line in athletics is, you know, we use the medium of sport to develop young people and young coaches. So that's where really I got the bug. And, you know, after 12 years of really continuing to go to my superiors and say, hey, can we do this? Hey, can we do this? What do you think about this? And not really being involved in the high level decision-making process, I thought it was time that I started looking for director positions. Wentworth opened up, and I did a lot of research on Wentworth, took some unofficial tours myself, and sort of fell in love with the mission and the place, the location. Mm-hmm. If I was able to secure that job, I wouldn't have to sell or rent my house. I could still continue to, you know, make that commute into Boston. Mm-hmm. So there were a lot of benefits and pros, and, you know, I was able to secure that job, and I've loved every minute of it for the last 3 years, so...
I didn't realize you've only been here 3 years.
3 years, I know. Wow. Sometimes I feel like I've been here forever, and then other times I feel like I just got on campus, you know?
That's great.
That's how some jobs are, too. I think you, mm-hmm. once you get into the groove of it, you really feel like you're part of the community, and you're certainly a big part of our community here at Wentworth.
Definitely. Well, thank you.
What do you think makes Wentworth unique now that you've been in the athletic director position for 3 years? What makes it so unique here?
You know, aside from the obvious, you know, it's in a fantastic location in the heart of Boston, easy access to every other part and every other little neighborhood in Boston via mm-hmm. public transportation or walking. It's certainly a niche school with particular majors that prepare students for real life work once they graduate. Mm-hmm. I think the co-op, you know, the area that you guys work in, that really is the greatest recruiting tool for our coaches and for our department.
Oh, nice.
There are a number of engineering schools out there or schools that offer engineering. There are a lot of, obviously, liberal arts schools, mm-hmm. but very few actually offer the co-op format where kids can get paid. Mm-hmm. They don't have to pay tuition. And they get legit pay rates. So somebody can walk away with, what, $10,000, $20,000 in a semester. And they're actually getting real live work experience in their field. You know, mm-hmm. We always talk about, are there other schools in the nation that prepare students that way? Yeah, Army, Navy, Air Force, Merchant Marine. Those are the schools where kids can actually walk out and secure a $60,000 job and be able to work in that environment immediately, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's been a great recruiting tool for us.
Nice. Yeah, that's interesting because we have this question on here. It sort of seems like we thought that maybe co-op might be a hindrance to the recruiting process. But I can see how that piece helps.
Definitely not in the recruiting process. Co-op, as you guys know, is time-consuming.
Yep.
It's not easy. So some of the challenges for co-op is it becomes a very long day for students who are in their season. You know, a spring co-op and you're a baseball, softball, lacrosse player, the end of your basketball season, hockey season. Mm-hmm. You're a fall sport. You're a fall co-op. You've already done a co-op, so you kind of have an understanding, but it still becomes a very long day. Sure. You know, student athletes who know they have practice at 5 o'clock have to start their co-ops and communicate that, have to start their co-ops earlier in the day in order to get back to practice.
Right.
So those are some challenges. Other challenges, you know, game days.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, you've got to play a game at the University of New England. It's a 3 o'clock start, and you're in the middle of co-op. So you have to be able to communicate that to your manager.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to get your, you know, required number of hours in that week while still being able to make the bus mm-hmm. and get to UNE and, you know, complete your responsibilities as a student athlete, whether you're a center fielder or the center on the ice hockey team or, you know, a middie on the lacrosse team. Like, you've got to be prepared. And I think those are definite challenges. But the one thing that I've seen here with our student athletes is their amazing ability to manage all of that and still be very successful in all areas of their life, including their on the field and on the court and in the rink. Like, it's sort of amazing. I mean, we have some student athletes who are two sport athletes and architecture majors.
That's crazy.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, and that's, you know, obviously that's a testament to their intellect, but also their grittiness,
their resilience, their
work ethic, their ability to manage time
and
sort of enjoy all areas, because typically, if you're an architecture major, you want to be a good architect.
Right.
If you're playing a sport, you want to be good at that sport. You know what I mean? And people rely on you. Your teammates and your coaches rely on you to, again, be prepared to come to practice and not be yawning the whole time and complaining about, oh, I was in lab or co-op for how many hours?
Yeah.
And then be prepared for games. You know what I mean? Because you're preparing for your games through practice. And if you're not ready for practice, then you're just not going to be prepared. So.
Yeah. In that vein, it's important for student athletes to prepare for their co-op a few semesters in advance so that they can have the opportunity to find a position that is flexible with those hours.
Mm-hmm.
So students, you know, if you're going out co-op in the spring, think about, you know, the summer before to start planning that search.
Yeah, that's essential because with NCAA compliance rules, you have to have secured a co-op in order to be eligible during your season.
Really?
Oh.
Yes.
Oh.
Because the co-op, even though it's not seen as accredited course in the eyes of the NCAA because of the time commitment, it is seen as at least 12 credit course, and that's sort of the minimum. So if you're somebody who's not prepared, like you're talking about, and haven't secured a co-op, you're not going to be eligible in that season because you're going to drop down in credits and not be eligible. So, you know,
I'm just thinking about the communication skills that these students are building. I mean, thinking about having, you have to communicate with your coaches, you have to communicate with your team, and then having, it's challenging to ask your supervisor for any time off.
Mm-hmm.
And that's coming from somebody who has almost a decade of experience in the working world now. So that's incredible that these students are just out there kind of like asking for what they need and negotiating for what they need while being successful on right. the field, in the classroom, on co-op.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I'm always at awe when student athletes speak to me.
Yeah. And it's, I've seen a lot of stats where the student athletes at Wentworth are very successful in their academics. And that's a, again, like you were saying, a testament to their resiliency and work ethic that
right.
they not only are, you know, doing the tricky academics at Wentworth, which I think are very challenging,
mm-hmm.
But also with the practice and the game schedule, keeping all that, you know, going mm-hmm. successfully.
Yeah. I you know, there are a number of challenges. I mean, you guys know the unique academic schedule we have here.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, we cannot start any practices until about 5 o'clock in the afternoon,
mm-hmm.
which leaves a little window for all of our teams to get on a field or get
sure.
in the gym to complete their, you know, yeah. log their hours for practice.
Yeah.
And then they've got the uniqueness of the amount of work that's expected of them outside of the classroom,
mm-hmm.
Which to me is very different than, you know, a liberal arts school.
Sure.
A lot of our teams travel, and you can't really, if you're an industrial design major, an architect major, you can't complete your homework on a laptop, on a bus, traveling to UNE. You've
right.
got to be in studio. You've got to have the resources, the printing, the printers, and the equipment in order to complete your project. So I think that's another challenge for us.
Mm-hmm.
And again, they continue to overcome these challenges and not really even look at them
mm-hmm.
as challenges. It reminds me of a story. You guys probably remember a couple of years ago, our women's soccer team had a historic run and they won the conference and earned a bid to the NCAA tournament.
That's awesome.
We were placed out at Williams, which is about 3.5 hours away from here. So first game's on Saturday, and we upset a higher-seeded team and win. So now we got to sleep over and play on Sunday. And I remember getting an alarming email from some of the captains saying, you know, what are we going to do? We've got to get into studio. There are no 3D printers at the Williamstown Inn. And, I mean, they just didn't have their – and I was like, I didn't even really understand that. But
yeah.
then I – thought, like, yeah, you know what I mean? You guys have been away from campus for 3 nights now. Mm-hmm. Although you're having an amazing experience and historic season, they were still completely worried
mm-hmm.
about
sure.
being able to get back and finish their projects for Sunday for Monday class, you
mm-hmm.
know?
Wow.
And, you know, great schools like Amherst and Williams and Tufts, and they win national championships all the time, but I just think their work is a little bit different and they can do it in the bleachers or on a bus,
sure.
you know, so another one of the challenges that we continue to overcome.
Yeah,
definitely.
Gosh, I can't imagine playing a game successfully thinking about like the hours of studio work I have to do.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Yeah. Exactly. Just your mindset. I mean, that's
right.
That's one of the challenges of for coaches here is, you know, listen, we've got a 2-hour practice or an hour and 15-minute practice. When you step on the court, when you put your shorts on, when you're with your teammates, I want you to focus just on practice. And it's really hard to do that. It's really hard to turn it off
mm-hmm.
and then turn it back on. But, you know, those are some of the things that we're sort of delving into in athletics.
Sure.
Maybe a little using a tool such as mindfulness.
I was just going to say that.
To help students
mm-hmm.
Sort of be able to turn off and turn on and focus and be in the moment when mm-hmm. they're in the moment instead of leaving all of your work behind, because literally you can't do anything about your work
huh.
when you're on the court for that hour or two
sure.
hours, you
right.
know what I mean? Like, and you want to be able to dedicate yourself to that sport or that other activity, so.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Do you notice a difference in students when they come back from co-op?
Do I notice a difference in students? Yes. Despite my short experience here and only having a few classes in co-op, yes. Sort of just what I talked about, having gone through my experience in Ireland, kids are much more comfortable with themselves mm. after co-op.
That's so interesting.
They're more talkative.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of student employees who work within our office.
Mm-hmm.
So they're in our office all day long, and then, you know, game events when events happen. And our assistant Susan is at the front desk area, and I'm very aware of students and, you know, what they're talking about and who they're talking to. And they're much more engaging having come back from co-op and much more engaged with me. And it's sort of like, you know, by the time you're in co-op, you're a second semester junior and first semester senior. And we just get them to that point where they're like engaged and really responsible and reliable, and they can communicate with other student workers. And then, boop, they're graduating.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's almost too bad that you develop these great relationships with these kids because they're so engaged, and then they're off and running literally the next moment, you know.
Well, it seems like they're well prepared and they're ready, you know. So
they are,
mm-hmm.
they are.
That's good.
And, you know, what you talked about being able to negotiate and communicate your needs, not the day before, but you know, as you start your co-op and continuing to remind your manager. You know, remember, I've got this. This is how my schedule is going to go. And so that's, those are, you know, that's the essential quality, isn't it? Being able to communicate, so.
Right, right.
So I'm thinking about these student athletes and their resumes. And typically when I see the resumes, they have like one little line maybe towards the bottom where they're, you know, member of the volleyball team or mm-hmm. whatever. But I think maybe we're doing them a little bit of a disservice with mm-hmm. that, because it's such a time commitment and such a balancing act between that and their academics. That maybe there's a way to, you know, describe that a little bit more and what mm-hmm. what that means for them as a potential employee.
I couldn't agree with you more.
Mm.
And you're right. When I've had the chance to kind of review some, I'm like, really? This little line is describing all of the time and energy and sweat and blood and literally tears.
Yeah.
So we've actually been, the last couple of years, we've been working with your office, with Robin,
mm-hmm.
to come in and sort of prepare and give a small training on, you know, what are the qualities and traits and experiences that you've learned that can, as a student athlete,
mm-hmm.
that can translate into the work world.
Mm-hmm.
Something employers are always looking for, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing how eye-opening it is. They're like, oh, yeah, we do that. Oh, yeah, we do that every day.
Mm-hmm. Right, the teamwork, the communication, the organization.
Yeah. I don't even really think about time management. It just has to happen because otherwise I'll be late for practice and I won't get my homework done.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, being able to sort of communicate that in words and on paper to make yourself more marketable.
Right.
You know what I mean? Everybody says, like, you're sitting down in an engineering class. What's going to separate you from the guy or the female next to you?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm a student athlete.
Right.
And I spend a lot of time doing A, B, and C.
Mm-hmm.
So Robin's really been great. Like we've started to work with our sophomores
mm-hmm.
so that when they are preparing for interviewing and going out for their co-ops,
mm-hmm.
they can use those buzzwords and phrases, whether it's interviewing or on resumes or cover letters, you know what I mean? To sort of market themselves differently.
Great.
Yeah. Absolutely. You just made me think of something. I'll always remember this thing from my old role, the owner and the president of my old company. Whenever we were making internal hires, I can remember them looking specifically for, were they a college athlete?
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't necessarily that we wanted an office filled with athletes. It was that we wanted an office filled with people who knew how to manage their time, who were going to be reliable and responsible.
Mm-hmm.
We could teach them the work that we were doing. We could teach them the industries, but we couldn't teach them how to be responsible adults and a good team member. And so more often than not, we were seeking out people who were at one point an athlete in their mm-hmm. life.
It's fabulous. That makes me smile.
So what, besides our office, how do you work with other departments in on campus?
You know, athletics and coaches, we are tied into so many different offices. We rely on so many different offices on campus. Admissions, financial aid, alumni, public safety, the dean's office, institutional advancement, co-ops and careers, community learning and partnerships through our community service projects. So it's critical that I, my staff, and coaches have great working relationships with all of those offices. Physical plant, you know, and not only so, you know, we do a lot of work in those areas as well, but we also need those offices.
Sure.
In order to do our work, obviously, admissions.
Hmm.
We need a great working relationship with them. Like, our coaches are actually going out and identifying and evaluating and recruiting and matriculating mm-hmm. students here. So, you know, part of our job is admissions.
Right.
We have to continue to engage with our alumni and hold alumni events, alumni games. So we work really closely with the alumni office.
Mm-hmm.
Physical plant. I mean, man, you can't just call over and say, hey, listen, the light's out and we're about to drop the ball. You know, somebody will just tell you to, if you don't have a good working relationship, they'll be like, yeah, we'll be there tomorrow. You
right,
know?
Right.
So, you know, it's really critical that we have those relationships. I think the other piece too, is we learn a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're a coach and you're selling your program to families and prospectives, you have to know a lot about what co-ops and careers are about, what community sure. partnerships are about, what alumni relations are about. You know, parents are always asking, what's going to be my return on this dollar? And you have to be able to answer that very clearly and, you know, with like a solid reasons, you
right,
know what I mean?
And
yeah, it's going to be worth your while because of co-ops and careers, because of the real work experience, because whatever it is, the renowned faculty we have here. I mean, that's another relationship that we have to
mm-hmm.
have a great working relationship, faculty and athletics, because we work so closely, you know what I mean? They have our students for a long time every day. We have our students a long time every day. So, and we're all working towards the same goal.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So working collaboratively where I can help your office, where you can help our office, you know, that's the name of the game in the end, you know?
Nice.
Yeah.
You mentioned community service projects. Can you talk a little bit more about that? I wasn't aware of that.
Yes. Every team is required to complete a community service project each year.
Okay.
Some teams do well more than one.
Mm-hmm.
We have two signature events throughout the year. One in the fall, we work with Special Olympians and on Sweeney Field with soccer. And
okay.
then we have another one in the winter for Special Olympians in basketball. And it's not just soccer players and basketball players who help out. It's the entire department in helping
mm-hmm.
that day. And, you know, we get from anywhere from 50 to maybe 75 Special Olympians and their families on campus. And
that's awesome.
It's a great day. Obviously for the Special Olympians, but for some of our kids who maybe haven't experienced
mm-hmm.
Different populations
mm-hmm.
and having to be able to communicate and work with them and see how families interact, it's sort of an eye-opening experience for them.
That's awesome.
The other things that we do, our men's ice hockey team every year has a special event for St. Baldrick's, which is raising awareness and funds for childhood cancer. Our men's lacrosse team a number of years ago adopted a very sick child out of the Friends of Jacqueline, which is also sort of a team impact type of organization. So Thomas has sort of grown up at Wentworth and the Wentworth men's lacrosse team, to the point where Thomas's older brother is now a 2-year member of the men's lacrosse team. And I don't think he would have even known about Wentworth as a choice of school if his brother hadn't had such a great experience. And
wow.
and that continues to turn over. And that's a lot of responsibility on, I'm going to say, young boys.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is somebody's young life
right.
in your hands. And you can't just, you know, say, Thomas, we can't do that tonight because I'm tired and I have, like, homework. Like,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't work that
yeah.
way. You know what I mean? So, you know, breast cancer walks, Helping Hands and, you know, toy drives, you name it, they've been involved in it. So any community partnerships, and as well as our staff, like, we get our staff out there. We've built a garden up on Mission Hill. We've gone over to some camps and sort of redesigned and raked and built benches for camps. And that was all through community learning and partnerships, like them setting us up. So
nice.
another great partnership over there with us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. I didn't
That's
realize
awesome.
You guys are welcome to come anytime.
Nice.
Okay.
All right. Well, I think, you know, we've talked a lot about, you know, athletics and co-op and the relationship, and I think it's really great that you're able to join us and share all this information. And is there anything else you'd want to add about the program or?
Listen, I appreciate you guys reaching out to athletics and inviting me here to talk about what we do.
Of course.
Again, you know, just simplifying it, what do we all do here? We recruit students to Wentworth. We develop them and teach them. We matriculate them. And then we hope, after having giving them a great experience, that they come back and engage as alumni. So it comes full circle. Mm-hmm. And whatever athletics can do to help in any way, any other department, especially co-ops and careers, because, again, that's our signature, we are happy to anytime. So thank you very much.
Yes, thanks again for joining us.
Thank you for joining us so much. So just some housekeeping, Rhea. How many weeks until co-op for the left for finding a co-op?
Yeah, the deadline's January 11th. So make sure if you're looking going on Spring Co-op that you've been searching and meeting with your co-op advisor. Report those hires if you've found something, and keep us updated.
Our last day of fall drop-ins will be tomorrow from 1:30 to 4. So also the last day of classes. Good luck on your finals, students. Study hard. Take care of yourselves. Yeah, that's it for us today. Thank you for joining us.